for today, which is found in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. If you'll rise with me, we'll read it together, the word of the Lord. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Word of the Lord, you may be seated.
Good morning. All right, a little lighter there. Wow, nice. Like that. I know I forget some Sundays, but I'm going to try to have that insert, a little question there for your benefit, along with some slides. And so we have launched a new series for year 2020 through the Bible series. And if you're new this morning, we're going to take each book, and Genesis is a bigger book, a lot of important things there. We're taking two sermons for that, but one sermon per book, if we can, for mostly, like 95% of those. And it will probably take us about a year and a half or so, that's how I calculated it. And that's where we're going to be going for the next year and a half, through the Bible from all this, from Genesis to Revelation, so that you can see a great scope of God's of God and His works. And so that's where we're going to go. Let me pray for us before we start on Genesis part 2. If you join me in prayer and ask for God's help. Your servant Paul said, "I did not come with eloquent words or words of wisdom, but a demonstration of your Spirit's power." Father in heaven, I could talk and talk and talk. But we know that would be of no use if you do not come in power. Nothing of eternal significance will happen . We could talk, we could labor, but all those will be in vain if you do not come and do spectacular things that man is not able to do. So Father, we are your children. I pray that you would come with power. Power from on high. And do to us things that I or no man is able to do now. We have read your truth. Your word is truth. Go and do amazing things. You have spoken. You have said, "Let there be light." And it was so. Let that be so now. All this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. The book of Genesis is not just a book of the physical creation. We saw last week that the book of Genesis is really about a second creation, a second beginning. And we saw that the second beginning starts with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And Abraham was given the ability by faith to see beyond the physical world, to be able to see and know the spiritual reality, the spiritual world. It is undeniably clear in the Bible that Abraham was given faith in Jesus Christ. That might be shocking to you, But it is true. John 8:56, as last week he said, Jesus was saying, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and he was glad. You know how long it was from Abraham to Jesus in flesh? 2,000 years. And Paul says he's the father of our faith. In Galatians 3:8, he says, what? The gospel was announced to Abraham beforehand. Abraham had faith in Jesus Christ, just like you and I have faith in Jesus Christ. Abraham was able to see the promise was not just to Canaan, but a land for God's people to live in, which was heaven. We saw that in Hebrews. And Abraham was able to see and know resurrection of the dead, just like you and me. That's our hope, isn't it? Our hope is to die and not to remain dead, to rise from the dead to eternal life. Abraham knew that. He is a father of our faith. The second creation started not in Matthew. Second creation, a new creation, started with Abraham. A faith was given to Abraham. And from Genesis 12, this new creation is unpacked and unleashed to the rest of the Bible, unpacked. Abraham, by faith, was given the essential elements of the gospel of Christ, as you and I know it today. You know, there's only one way to heaven, one way, right relationship with God in all of reality. John 14:6 says what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father through me, through Jesus. Abraham believed that. You and I believe that. He is a father of our faith. All right. So that was a review of last week. What I want to do this morning is introducing the physical creation in its goodness, in its power and wisdom. And then the rest of the book of time, I just want to take these two words at the end of God's creation, what it said about man. Man was made in his image or God's image, and male and female, he created them. Okay? All right. God, in the next series from Genesis 1, and ending in Genesis 1:26-27, God put together a world that man would live in. His house, so to speak, a kingdom being formed exactly suited for man's abilities and the resources given to man that would accomplish God's purposes. Day by day, God added a new element to his house, to his world, where the man would work and live. God gave light by means of the light, man can see his world around him. Light is the medium of truth, the carrier of data, through which our senses give us the man information we need to live and work in this universe. The expanse God created, space and water, and separated the water from above and water from below. I actually did just a research on water. I've never done it in my life. So God separated the water from above and water from below. I mean, what? And some of you guys already know this. You know how much percentage of water is in a human being? And I was shocked. Well, not 70%. It says 60% of our body is water. uh, 60% of all adult bodies water, according to the Journal of Biological Chemistry. The brain and the heart is composed of 73% of water. Our brain and heart. Lung is about 83% of water. Skin contains 64% of water. Kidneys, 79%. Our bones, it's also composed of water too, 31%. And you realize, even Earth, okay? You know how much percentage of water in the Earth that we live, you and I? I don't know. Anyone? 71%. The Earth is composed of water. I thought you would appreciate that. God separates from water above and water below. And then He makes dry ground. 2 Peter 3:15, the earth was formed out of water through water. Two essential elements or essentials of life were formed, water and earth, which create and sustains life on earth, but also food for man. Light in the sky, sun, moon, and stars create seasons, means of making time and flow of events in history, sea creatures. Ocean was filled with animal life, the first half of our ecological system. Land creatures, the other half of completing our ecosystem. And then comes God's greatest creation, His last and greatest, the creation of man himself. Man, in fact, was the purpose of God's creation. None of this world that you and I live will mean anything, be meaningless, apart from man's presence. The earth is His kingdom. Man is ruler. They were made for each other. It's like a glove that fits in the hand. It displays God's goodness, His power, balance, His coordination, His glory, His wisdom, and His power. And then, in chapter 1, our passage this morning, verse 26 and 27, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Now, some of you guys might already know, I'm glad Tim and the praise team sang about the Trinity. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. This phrase, "in His image," has caused no end of argument and confusion for scholars and pastors. I mean, it obviously doesn't mean that man was made in His image is not physical appearance. God does not have physical appearance. He is invisible. He is spirit. I mean, if you try to like copy or try to make an image out of the materials that we have in this world, you will always get it wrong. God is not from here. He can't be defined by this world. If you try to make an image, you'll get it wrong and it will be wrong. So His image is not physical appearance like God, because God is unique. He's no, like there is no else like God. And some have tried to say in His image means, and then some of you guys already maybe think that way, that His image means that we are like intellectual beings. I mean, we have reason apart from like the animal world. And we have morality intelligence, reason, and morality. That's what he means by his image, in the image of God, he created man. I don't think so. I mean, that might be true. Yeah, God is smart and intelligent and, you know, depending on who you talk to, you know. I quickly realized that in high school, I thought I was really, really smart. And when I went to college, I realized that I wasn't as smart as I thought. You know, because there were smarter kids than me. And I realized quickly that I wasn't not as smart as I thought. I was an average student compared to the bigger pool of students in college than high school. The clue to this mystery of in his image is in the text itself. Look at it. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." In other words, there is a hint here to say that God is not simple. He is complex. To speak of him. The word here used of God is in Hebrew a plural, Elohim. Let us make man in our image. In the image of God, he created man. And we know from the New Testament passages, such as John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, Colossians chapter 1, and other places, the reference to us means that God is not just one, but he is revealed in three persons. There's one God, okay? And that one God is revealed himself in three persons. Father, Son, Spirit. The three persons was creating the world, and therefore the creation of man will parallel the relationship between the Father and Son as it exists in the Trinity. In other words, before anything was, there was God, and in the God, there is relationships between the persons of the Trinity. There is a Father, and there is a Son, and they have a relationship. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. And in that image, eternal Son and the Father, that image was created in the man. In other words, God and now man has the same relationship that the image that the Father and the Son in the eternal Godhead would have. Adam was, and Adam and Eve, male and female, the man was given incredible abilities. We are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that Christ is the image of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, Christ is the image of the invisible God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And here's a clincher for us. Christians are destined to be changed into the image of Christ, the Son of God. Romans chapter 8, 29, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 49, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, all say, Christians, the reason you are saved, the reason you are redeemed, the reason God had mercy on you and me and granted faith is because he wants to restore you remake you into the image of Christ. Look what he says. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Talking to the church, talking to you, Christian, in order that he might be firstborn among many brothers. In other words, if God were to make a man, okay, in appearance, what would his image be referring to here? Well, his image, his relationship with his Son in the triune God. Is the relationship that the image is referring to. That we will be, man will be God's Son, just like Jesus Christ is God's Son, capital S, in his relationship with man. We, before sin, were made to commune with God. Not as an employer-employee relationship. As the Son relates to his Father. We share what is in the Father's heart. That's why you and I were created. We share in the Father's passion for his glory. What's the chief end of man? To enjoy God and to glorify God forever. And man was given the ability to work out in our physical world in a way that is pleasing to our Father. I think if we were honest, most of us work. The right answer is we work and we do things for the glory of God, but most of us work for ourselves, for the lust of the things in this world to want it. Yeah. And there are days when I just examine introspection of myself, okay, and examine my daily activities. There is a lust. Our lust might be different things, but things in this world, our love for things in this world, it could be security, it could be comfort, whatever, things. It's not the glory of God anymore, but we were made that way. Everything that we put our hand in is for the glory of God, and now man, by and large, don't live that way. It's for self-gain. You look powerful. See, I got this house. You know, when I was a teenager, I used to want a car. And typical, right? I wanted to drive. And to have a car means like you're a
cool teenager. You know,
that's like the epitome of what you want as a teenager, to drive or have a car. That made a teenager complete. At least for me. And I used to borrow my sister's car. Ford Escort Red. It wasn't my car. It was my sister's car. But I felt so
happy driving the car.
There's a lust there. Okay. There's a love there. A love should be God. And yet, a lust for things in this world. The glory of the man, not glory for God. That's the right answer. In reality, it's not like that. In fact, that's why God gave man his Son. He gave his Son good things in abundance. A fullness, a richness. And that is a proof of the Father's, God's love for man. The physical creation is God's gift to man
and his inheritance. Not use it for himself. That's how we do it now in sin. But to manage and take care of and work for God and for his glory. That was the world that man, male and female, Adam and Eve, found themselves in before sin. Incredible world. And Adam had the wisdom and the ability to do work and give 100% glory to God. It's all about God. In other words, the Father of the Trinity created a Son on earth in the image of the eternal Son who bears the Father's image. We are a family, and God intended us to treat us as such. The world was made through Christ. That's what it means. The relationship of the Father and the Son in the Trinity, that image was created in man with God. If God's own Son were to become a man, he would look like Adam. He will have the powers and responsibilities that Adam received. And how do we know this? Well, the Bible tells us. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Adam was the type of the one who was to come. So man was just a representative on earth. God expected man to attend to his Father's interests on earth. And return God, and in return, God will give man glory and honor befitting the Son of God. Incredible relationship that God gave Adam, male and female, Adam and Eve. Now, I think if you're parents, and if you're not parents, and have kids, I think you can still understand. And I have three kids. They're all cute. And Andrew, who's a little over one, he does such cute things. You know, he wants to, more than any of our kids, Andrew, he's a little over one, he's like literally grabbing the spoon and trying to feed himself.
Okay. He misses. Okay.
Andrew, as you can see a little bit, like he always smiles. And lately, this past week, maybe he did this before, but I just noticed it this past week.
We teach our kids to thank you and say please, right? And so,
Andrew, please, and he literally squats, and he does this. And your heart melts. And at that moment of cuteness and joy there, I want to give my son the whole world. That's my heart. If I have the whole world, I want to give to my son for that cuteness. You know? And the joy that comes, overflowing. It's almost uncontrollable. But that was a relationship between God and man. God in all his inheritance, which is the reality, he gave all of his inheritance, okay, to man. Wisdom and power and special abilities in their relationship, which reflected the relationship that the Father and the Son, eternal Son, had. Incredible. Why would Adam turn his back against that? His inheritance that God gave. I don't know. If you could tell me why a perfect man who's given special abilities in the relationship between Father and Son, and the Son would say no and turn his back and do his own thing. If you could answer that question, you would answer the nature of sin and why you and I turn our backs and disobey and not listen to God.
mode. Man found himself in an amazing situation, a glorious situation. A hand fitting the glove, perfect, perfect world, perfect harmony. And yet man would turn his back against that. It's tragedy. And you and I are experiencing that tragedy, that devastation. You know, unless you're having a revival, I don't know if anyone here wakes up in the morning and the first thing that pops up into your head is the glory of God. You don't live, that's not your universe. And there are times when I take my shower and I sing praises, okay? You know, and sing a hymn. But that's not in our universe. We think about the agenda that we're going to be doing in this world. We could go weeks and days and months not thinking about God at all. You know, that's the world that you and I are in. That Adam brought the whole entire human race into. The sinful world. All right. So the image of God, in His image, man is this relationship, father and son relationship that God gave. Not just an intellectual reason and morality. All right. Now, male and female. This is a plain way of saying that man is comprised of both man and woman. The two are complete with each other. Each needs what the other contributes to the relationship. Man and woman, Adam and Eve, together constitute what God has in mind for man. Generally speaking, Adam had the strength of a man to guide the family and to provide for it. Eve had the gentleness and the beauty of a woman, the love and emotions of a woman to nurture the family. Each is essential to a good family. And just imagine,
maybe it's hard to imagine, but imagine our family is two of these, okay? And not me and Tasia.
It'd be full of discipline, okay? It'd be full of not much emotions and affections and love and nurture. It'll be very pretty cold household if there was two of me in the house. Well, that's not how God created the family. Children need the mother, the qualities of the mother, the nurturing of the mother, the caring of the mother. Women have that special ability that man does not have. I'm sure you could be like, you know, Pastor Young, you know, I'm sure there's the guys who really care too, you know, and feel like women. Well, there are exceptions, okay? But there are not many. It is that's what the church need. Any woman will nurture and care. Something about women that are able to do better than men. Okay? And also need man too, you know. The both. Not on the structure of the family, but even in the church, the caring and the nurture that is needed in the church when someone is hurting. Okay? You know, I would never ever, when someone is hurting, and cook for them. You know, send them like a plate of cookies. I just don't do that. Okay, most guys don't do that. Okay, but women do that. All kinds of ways that women nurture and care, you know, and the love that goes out, not just in the family, but in the church, is crucial for the life of the church, the health of the church. And the male and men.
man's leadership and the teachings. Each had their part to perform, which was critical for the success of the whole, male and female. Not just for procreation, but the health of it, the success of it, thriving of the home. And they come together. We see God's original characteristics in their union, which is again made in the image of the fullness of God. You could say, if you were to see God, there will be male characteristics in God and female characteristics in God. Both make up who God is. In His image, male and female, He created them. You know, I don't know about you, and in our relationship, my relationship with Tasia. Tasia is so different than me. You know, not in terms of her nurturing and her emotions. Man, she's just a different person. Right? And that's good.
You know, when we get ready to go on a trip, okay? You know how long I wait to get ready?
Like the day before. Sometimes the day of to pack. But now my wife, and at times because I don't really work that way. I don't feel that's important. But Tasha will get ready before weeks,
maybe a month, to get ready for a trip to like Brazil or a long distance trip.
We're just so different, but we need each other. You know?
Imagine if our family was run by me.
You know? It'll be chaos. And I always make fun of my wife. When you look in her purse or her bag, I kid you not, she carries everything in the house with me. You could buy that. We get to our destination. Yet at times, the Band-Aid or the little, you know, chocolate that she puts in there or other things, it comes in handy at times. You know, I don't carry those. And so it's amazing how God has made man and woman, and how if we could work with each other in our strengths and weaknesses, it's a perfect union. Okay? In the midst of our sin. In the midst of our sin. Man had a special relationship with God as a son to his father, which makes, I said last week, which makes our crime and rebellion against Him all the worse. And that's why we find in Genesis chapter 1, not just
the good news and how He made it.
He tells and explains the tragedy of man in the light of how He made you and me. In His image, the Father's image, in our relationship with God, we are, small s, son of God. That's how we were made. To be passionate about God. To love God. To give glory to God. And He pours out all His resources and love to us. And we need to see this exalted vision of our former glory in order for us to fully understand the tragedy of our fall. In order for you to understand the good news, you have to understand the bad news. How we were created and how far we have fallen from that original glory. And He also gives us, in the beginning, in Genesis, the solution that God will bring to restore man through Jesus, the second Adam, to make us beautiful, to make us lovely and precious, to the likeness of Jesus, so that what God is after in your salvation and my salvation
is that we, just like Jesus, will be passionate about God's kingdom. Just like Jesus, we will say yes, sir, to everything that He said. Not because we have to. It's because we want to.
You know, Tim and I, we encourage you guys in 2022 to pray and to read your word. Not because I told you to. Not to give you guilt trips. You know, God did not need to give guilt trips to Jesus to obey Him. Jesus loved. It was a joyous thing to obey the Father. And that's what God is trying to recreate you. Not to drag your feet. But you will want to. But you want to read His Word, every single inch of it. And there's a joy there. And love there. When God says in His words, do not love the world or things in the world. You say, yes, sir. When the Bible says, Jesus says, put your heart on things above, not things below. You say, yes, sir. You want to do it. There's a joy there. There's a rejoicing there. There's a desire there, just like Jesus. And I pray in the year 2020 that God would change you more and more. The joy that the Son has with His Father, that you will want to be more and more conformed and changed into His image. In the image of God, He created us through Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what an incredible work. That you did in creating man in your image. Father and Son relationship. Oh Lord, cause us, this church, as your Son, as a body, every single part that make the body, we will bow our knees together, submit to your word, fill us with power and with joy, and a vision of what your Son was able to do. Transform us together, more and more to the image of your Son. Not separately, not in pockets, but as a whole. Make that miracle, Holy Spirit, happen. Bring a revival into this body. I beseech you, have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Restore us, this body, your Son. Help us so that we might more and more each year, each month, each week to meet and to gather. And the purpose is to change into your image, I pray. Drive us, empower us to do that. Pray this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ.